Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Final hour of Men in Woods on a Wednesday, halfway through the week here. The weeks that seem to go on longer than normal weeks did before this all started. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk to someone who's really in the middle of it, an emergency room nurse here in San Diego at Sharp Healthcare, one of Woods' buddies from his adult league baseball teams, interested to get a firsthand account of the preparations and patients that are coming in with coronavirus right now. I couldn't help but think yesterday, Woods, when I saw the news about Noah Syndergaard needing to get Tommy John surgery, my first thought was, wow, well, luckily the Padres didn't trade for Noah Syndergaard. Yes. After all the talk the last couple of years and A.J. Preller's interest, and the Mets always seemed to be holding out for more. The price tag was too high. We're never able to come to an agreement on a deal that would have brought the Padres what they thought was, you know, a frontline pitcher here for the 2020 season. Well, had they done that move, they would have probably given up a couple of their, you know, highly rated prospects.
Big time.
And all of a sudden, they would have had no Noah Syndergaard this year, and then just one more year of control in 2021. Who knows when he'll be back? Middle of next season? Depends on how the surgery and the rehab go. But it got me thinking about some of those near misses, those trades that, like, didn't happen, that almost happened, and just how many of them could have changed the course of sports over the years. And Paul actually found this great list on a website of trades that, like,
do it, didn't you?
Like, had been agreed to and then were canceled at the last second.
All right, let's run them down.
Here's a few of them.
Okay.
We don't have to list them.
Number five.
Did you know in 1995, Yankees fan Woods, Mariano Rivera almost dealt to the Detroit Tigers for David Wells?
Good God.
Like, prospect Mariano Rivera, future Hall of Famer, could have been a Tiger instead of a Yankee. Do they win all those World Series? Do they have that run without Mariano Rivera anchoring that bullpen?
John Wetland was pretty good at baseball, not as a human being, but pretty good at baseball. They would have been okay for a couple of years, may have gotten one. Benny, but I mean, Mariano Rivera, he's Mo. That's first ballot Hall of Famer, 100% of the vote. Like, the guy's the best to ever do it. It's ridiculous. Yeah, for David Wells. Wow.
Here's another good baseball move. In the year 2000, the St. Louis Cardinals were trying to pick up a couple of journeymen. Dustin Hermanson,
number four,
who played for the Padres for a while, if I remember correctly. Steve Klein from the Expos. The Expos were going to get back one of two players in the deal. Fernando Tatis Sr. Or Albert Pujols. They ended up, of course, including Tatis in the trade. Was more of an established major leaguer. Pujols had not yet played in the major leagues yet. Remained with the Cardinals.
Wow.
And the rest, of course, history in that deal. Of course, had Fernando Tatis Sr. not gone to Montreal, history would have been different. There may not have been a Fernando Tatis Jr. That was right around the time that Tatis was probably conceived, right? 2000? No, he was born in 2000, so he was already on the way at that point.
Yeah, he was probably a little...
It's good to know.
A little in his mama's belly.
Number three.
One, of course, that we're very familiar with here in San Diego. When Drew Brees left the Chargers in 2006, he had signed, he basically agreed with the Dolphins as to be his new team. And then they got cold feet at the end because of that shoulder injury and had almost no options. And finally, the Saints decided, all right, you know, we're going to put some faith that Drew Brees can come back from this injury, make him their quarterback. A lot of people were laughing at the Saints at that point. Could have been a Dolphin all these years. Instead, Drew Brees has gone on to a Hall of Fame career, all-time leading passer, yep, all-time leading touchdown thrower with the New Orleans Saints.
Number two.
So Kobe Bryant over the years, the late Kobe Bryant, was nearly traded many times. You know, with the feuds with Shaq. I mean, they almost had enough of Kobe Bryant and just like, we need to separate these guys. Trades had been set up with the Wizards to go play under Michael Jordan during his return to the Washington Wizards, the Clippers, the Chicago Bulls. But every time, it always ended up, they figured out a way to keep Kobe Bryant with the Lakers, and that legacy never stopped going on with Kobe Bryant. But what could have been that wasn't? And then I thought you'd like this last one. 1992.
Number one.
Pittsburgh Pirates outfielder Barry Bonds. There was a trade in place, in principle, that the Atlanta Braves would have acquired Barry Bonds, still the pre-steroid.
Yes.
Barry Bonds,
still very
for outfielder
good.
Keith Mitchell, reliever Alejandro Pena, and an undisclosed prospect. Never would have brought Barry Bonds to the West Coast. Who knows what would have happened if he had not come to San Francisco, near the Bay Area Laboratory Cooperative, known as VALCO.
Victor Conte.
Yes.
Yes.
In the Bay Area. He might have stayed skinny Barry Bonds this whole time.
Man.
Still be a great player. Probably be in the Hall of Fame right now if he'd stayed skinny Barry Bonds. Instead, he's the all-time home run champ.
He's so mad, Paul, because he wanted to do that list so bad.
I didn't. Paul kind of turned it into a list. It was more just examples of trades that didn't happen.
Did you have examples?
No, I loved the examples you sent me.
That's why I sent it to you.
Right.
No, but you turned it into a list by adding the countdown numbers.
How would you do that segment?
Five different examples. They didn't.
Right.
You didn't have to count them down in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
You did that to make me look bad to you.
What? We could have put him on a mountain.
Then there would have only been four spots.
But we could have called it the best, the Mount Rushmore of trades that almost happened but didn't. You know, we have a guy plays for the San Diego Padres. We have not seen him yet play for the San Diego Padres, but Jurickson Profar is a guy. I've talked about this before, Benny. Some of the names that were on the table for that guy years ago with the Texas Rangers was the untouchable. He was the Fernando Tatis. He was the Mackenzie Gore. He was the Patino, if you will, of the Texas Rangers. And I mean huge, huge packages offered for
that
guy.
That's such the opposite side of the coin. These were all trades that, you know, eventually they're glad didn't happen. The Texas Rangers probably wished they would have pulled off the Jurickson Profar trade many times, all the players they could have gotten.
God, there were so
many. The Padres
many.
Could have had... For Sean Burroughs back in the day, what they could have gotten for Sean Burroughs.
Was there a Verlander deal to the Padres?
Verlander was a potential draft. They took Matt Bush when they could have had Verlander or Jared Weaver right after Matt Bush.
Yeah.
But they went with the more affordable option, the local Mission Bay kid, and we know how that turned out.
Not great.
They had gone with the pricier option. Could have had a long-term pitching star in San Diego.
Pretty amazing. Yeah, no, those are fascinating.
The what ifs.
Me. Yeah, some of we've all seen bad trades. We've seen them here in San Diego. They're not exclusive to here. They've happened with every team. Every team has those ones where you scratch your head and go, "What? Like, why would you do that? Why would you make that move?" But, you know, listen, you know, Jay Buhner. The Yankees traded Jay Buhner for Ken Phelps, who was like 60 years old. You didn't think Pete Alonso looks old. Ken Phelps looked like a dad.
Was who
awful.
Was the was it John Smoltz that the Tigers traded to the Braves for reliever
Doyle Alexander?
Doyle Alexander.
Yeah, awful. Awful, awful trade.
Yeah.
Remember the Mariners traded David Ortiz to
the Twins.
Then he went to the Red Sox after that.
Amazing. Yeah, he tripled in size. Nobody mentions that ever. Because he's funny, he's got good personality, got that gap in his tooth.
A problem with Big Poppy right now?
Yeah,
how's he doing? Remember, he got shot.
He's fine.
He's doing okay.
He's fine. Yeah.
All right, let's see. It's 8 o'clock. If you missed it earlier, we are down to the Elite Eight now in our Tournament of Drops. Funny sound bites. Paul, let's get to it. All right, so yesterday we had our second half of our Sweet 16, our voting on Twitter, at Ben and Woods. We put the polls up. We had four matchups in the Sweet 16 to get us down to the Elite Eight in the South and Midwest regions. Paul, who were our winners yesterday?
Yes, we will start off in the South region, Sweet 16. We had the number one seed, Ben, who the fudge is Jace Tingler, going up against the 13 seed, Philip Rivers is a loser. The 13 seed was looking like a Cinderella, but they fell short in the Sweet 16. Who the fudge is Jace Tingler moving on?
As it should.
Very well seeded. That happens a lot. Where you get the upsets early, but then the one seeds take control as we get to this portion of the tournament.
Portion of the tournament. You say that now, Ben, but the other matchup in the South region, we had the number two seed, Ben, and dang it, going up against the 11 seed, Woods. I don't say it twice, dude.
This is a shocker.
And the 11 seed, Woodsy, moving on to the Elite Eight.
The highest seed remaining in the tournament now, an 11 seed in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I always get counted out, yet I still find time to rise, Ben.
Asked for a comment after losing. The two seed, dang it, said,
don't.
Dang it.
Dang it.
Dang it. I loved that drop. I think I had it in the final four.
Out.
I'm a little upset about that. Anyways, we move on to the Midwest region. The number eight seed, Hannah, and don't do this, taking on the 13 seed, Ben. I'd much rather smoke weed. It was a strong matchup. But Hannah, the 8 seed, prevailed, moving on to the Elite 8.
By the way, the 1 seed from that quadrant, who was knocked out in the first round, Wade Phillips, Fortnite by Kawhi. We'll get direct commentary from Wade Phillips himself when he joins the show on Friday.
Yes.
Reaction to his early round loss in the Tournament of Drops.
I don't know that we bring it up with Wade. I don't know that he might. I don't know that he'll remember.
I'm sure he already knows.
I feel like the setup.
He keeps tabs on us.
I feel like the setup may be longer than the punchline.
Well, we are going to talk to Wade anyway
on
Friday.
So. Excited about that.
Yeah.
The other matchup in the Midwest region was the 2 seed Bo with Bye-Bye taking on the 6 seed Hammer, and let's get started.
You know what Bo said to Hammer in this matchup? He said bye-bye. Yes,
there
what he said to Hammer.
That's right. Bo, moving on to the Elite Eight. So from the South and Midwest regions, your Elite Eight teams, Bo, Bye-Bye, Hannah, don't do this. Woods, I don't say it twice, dude. And Ben, who the fudge is Jace Tingler? But we're focusing on the East and the West matchups today. The poll is already out on Twitter. We probably have some early results.
I will check in right now as you go through the matchups.
All right. We start off in the East region, the number one seed overall for the tournament. Ben, oh my God.
Oh my God.
So good.
Taking on the 7 seed with Hammer.
Love it.
Oh my God has run out to an early lead. It's not insurmountable, but the one seed looks like they're in good shape at this juncture to move on to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Be our first Final Four participant.
All right. In the West region, could we have another upset alert? Bo, the 8 seed, the strongest 8 seed in the history of this tournament. And he has taken on a very strong 3 seed with Ben Higgins.
Blame it on the Henry.
Legendary.
I thought
drop.
Blame it on the Henry was one of those 3 seeds that might just run all the way. But look at Bo jumping out to a quite substantial lead.
Oh, yeah.
Here in the Elite Eight matchup in the regional final in the West. Bo, unless Blame It on the Henry gets a groundswell of support the rest of the day, could be it for the Henry.
All right, well, you've heard the results. You've heard the drops. Now go vote.
Go vote.
Ben and Woods on Twitter. Cast your vote. We'll have the results at 6 a.m. tomorrow.
And we will have the other half of our Elite Eight matchup. So by Friday morning, we will be down to the Final Four. And we're just trying to figure out next week when we do the Final Four, how can we make it sound as big as possible? We don't know yet, but we're going to
figure it out. We're working on it behind the scenes. Yes. Yeah, we got some ideas.
We are working on that. It's Ben and Woods still to come. We'll check in with Woodsy's buddy, who's an ER nurse. Right in the middle of things here in San Diego. Want to make sure we keep touching base with the community. Also, had some news out of the NBA world yesterday involving Steve Ballmer and the LA Clippers.
Does he have COVID like everybody
else
in the NBA? No, okay.
That's coming up next. Right now, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. You can stay connected with your friends here on 97.3 The Fan while we keep social distance. Join us all for live video sessions on Twitter at 97.3 The Fan SD. Going to be on Twitter, our show, Mondays. We already did ours this week, but you can catch us again next Monday after our show at 9:15. The coach, John Cantara, he is up today. That's coming up in, 3 hours, 11:15 this morning. Thought we were supposed to have a virtual meeting at 11 o'clock. Does Coach not have to go to the meeting because he has his Twitter show at 11:15?
Does a recess mean that we will be...
Yes. Now, are you trying to get out of this meeting?
Yeah, no, I'm already. I'm sure I'm exempt. I'll be working my other job.
So you're exempt from this meeting?
Well, I mean, if I'm sitting there, I'll probably... Virtual meetings aren't as tough to get to as the ones that are actually physically in the building.
Yeah, aren't all your meetings virtual meetings?
I show up virtually to the meetings.
Have you been to a meeting?
I did go to that one that we had in the big Sound Space studio that one day, but I fell asleep in the back.
That's the one you fell asleep in?
Yeah.
That was with the
president of Entercom was there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben is asleep.
Strong look for the show.
Very strong look for our program.
Way to represent.
I think it shows that I'm working very hard all day long.
Man, he broadcasts his ass off. He fell asleep in my meeting.
Isn't that the ultimate
sign? Hey,
Adam,
who's that clown back there?
These guys are working themselves to exhaustion.
Yeah, for you.
For you, your company, boss. Look at this guy right
here. Joe Entercom.
I would like to see everyone like this guy working so hard that he has passed out at this meeting.
I'm kicking him.
That is the example we are trying to set in this company.
It's unbelievable.
Gwen and Chris, they'll do their Twitter live show Fridays at 2:15.
All right.
All stay connected here on 97.3.
Big fan of staying connected to you guys out there. That's what we're trying to do here.
We are trying to do that. So we got some arena / stadium news today. Steve Ballmer has officially closed the deal buying the Forum in Inglewood for $400 million cash money. This writes a check out to the MSG group that had owned the Forum. And this has a lot of effect on the sports world in Southern California, because the reason he bought the Forum wasn't that he just loves the building or wants an arena for his team to play in. No, he is basically spending $400 million to clear the way to build a new arena right across the street.
Yes.
For his Clippers.
That will be a parking lot or what?
No, they're going to keep it open for now as a concert venue. It's going to be a music venue pretty much only. And then they're going to build the new Clippers arena, which I think they're hoping is going to open in 2024. And for the time being, they'll be able to coordinate. Yes, parking will be available at both, you know, not scheduling big events on the same night. Have a music event one night there and a Clippers game the next night across the street. My feeling, though, is wouldn't it be nice? San Diego? The problem up there is too many arenas. And down here, of course, it's not enough arena.
So we'll have one arena across the street from another arena, essentially, eventually.
In L.A.
What's across the street now?
Of course, and they also have Staples Center. Right now, across the street is just like an unused corner of the big SoFi Stadium lot, which is also going to be across the street.
So it's going to be a lot. It's going to be stadium, arena.
Oh, stadium, arena.
Holy crap.
And we got none of them down
so
here.
So essentially, put this into
$400 million for nothing.
Put this into layman's terms.
He may close it at some point.
Do this with the street you live on.
Do what in the terms?
Oh, this. So you would buy your person,
yes,
your neighbor
I'm
across the street.
I'm basically buying the house next to me just to kind of keep it open so I don't have anyone like bothering me, or no one's going to sue me because I want
your
to let
tree.
My dog out in the yard or something. I just buy your house.
That's incredible.
That's what Steve Ballmer just did.
Golly.
He has that much money that he can do that.
So he spends $400 million
on that. By the way, the Forum, which opened in 1967, that was the year after Pechanga Arena. Then the sports arena opened in 1966. Don't think anyone's going to be paying $400 million for Pechanga Arena at this point. Hey, if you can sell it, though, be my guest. Go right ahead, City of San Diego. $400 million is the asking price for mid-60s rundown arenas in Southern California.
Crazy.
At
the moment. Yeah, that's a lot.
Where would you rather be, San Diego or Inglewood?
That's a lot of dough. That is a lot of dough, man, to Throw out, not even for the land for your arena, because he already has to buy that.
No, that's on a different plot
different
of land.
Lot.
Across the street.
Then the construction. I mean, this is a hefty project for Steve Ballmer.
He's a rich man.
A very rich man. That's, how do you make his money again?
Microsoft.
Right? Amazing.
Isn't he Bill Gates guy? Gates is,
he's like his right-hand man.
Right-hand man.
God.
Yeah. A lot of money in.
He's like the CEO, I think.
Computers.
That's incredible.
Computer. Plastics, Woods.
Yes.
Plastics.
All right.
The other stadium news is local, and it's hard for me to say, I believe, as I turn my head just over that ridge right there behind me, Woods, it's looking more and more likely that in the next, 3 years, there will actually be a new right-sized football stadium for San Diego State on that plot of land where SDCCU Stadium sits right now. Yesterday, the California State University Board approved the construction plans for the San Diego State Stadium and agreed to issue $310 million in bonds, which means SDSU now has a way to pay for this. Well, you know, originally it was going to be $200 million, then they said now $250. Well, now it looks like they have a price tag. What it's really going to cost, $310 million plus interest for about $355 million total cost. They've got the bonds issued. They'll have to pay them back over 30 years, I believe, with revenue from the stadium and philanthropic gifts from alumni. But they're going right ahead with this, even with all of the virus stuff going on. San Diego State appears to be making progress toward actually building something on the Mission Valley site. It's incredible.
It is. And you know, again, you wonder what this coronavirus is going to do to all projects. You know, I mean, at least they're still making inroads, Ben, in this time of where everything's going to be delayed. But does that delay, you know, construction? Does that delay? There's still big, big hurdles.
Oh, huge question.
They
don't even have officially. They haven't bought the land. I think they agreed to like an $87 million, somewhere around their purchase price with the city. But there's T's to cross, I's to dot. And the city doesn't really have the time to, you know, be involved in negotiations for a big land sale at the moment. They're dealing with like day-to-day crisis of trying to, you know, keep our community safe with this coronavirus going around. So
you're gonna be sad when they demo the queue
a little bit.
Yeah, right.
I just, a lot of days there with my dad.
Sure, man.
I mean, good games, bad games, watching Tony Gwynn play down there. I remember the time that we got into an accident. Someone sideswiped us in the parking lot on the way out from the game. Yeah,
were they
drunk? Scary. I don't remember. I was pretty young at the
was
time.
Was it the 80s?
I was sitting in the back seat, and I remember just, boom, right in the side.
Was it the 80s? It was the 80s.
It was probably 80s, late 80s.
They probably were drunk, and no one cared back then, Ben. You could do whatever you wanted back in the 80s.
Who knows?
Probably our buddy Leisure Fryer that got
tailgate
you.
Tailgate parties over the years out in the parking lot.
I saw Guns N' Roses there. That's probably my fondest memory of the queue.
Game 5, 1984 Nationally Championship Series.
You were there?
The Murph, I was there.
Oh.
Clinching game. Padres over the Cubs. Game 3, agonizing in the 1998 World Series. I was sitting in the outfield seats when Scott Brosius homered off Trevor Hoffman. A lot of good and bad memories. A lot of Chargers games, Marlon McCree game, playoff games.
I think you'll go down to watch the demo. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything get demolished?
Just on television.
Yeah, just on television.
The implosions of like Las Vegas casinos. Those are always entertaining.
I think I would go down to watch the queue.
So, you know, knowing the queue and the history, they'll like hit the button and nothing will happen.
Nothing will happen. Or half of it. It'll be. It'll cost twice as much as they said it would.
That could be tough to take down. I mean, that thing is solid concrete.
It'll go down, but then the next morning we all wake up, it'll be back.
It'll be back. Yeah, exactly.
It'll rise from the ashes.
All right, we can laugh, we can have fun with it. It is definitely especially a tough time for our first responders and our medical personnel, people, docs working in the emergency room, and especially nurses working in the ER. Woods, tell us a little bit about your buddy that's going to be joining us in a second.
Yeah, so it's a guy, Jimmy Coughlin. He used to play baseball with him, tall, strapping left-hander, threw really, really well, pitched for the A's for a few years, or for a season. And then was like, man, I can't make the game. I'm starting this new thing. And went back to school, became an ER nurse. And Jimmy's one of the best kids you could ever meet. Loved playing with him. Great, great teammate. And was texting with him the other day about what's going on here in San Diego. And again, he is the ER nurse at Sharp Healthcare. And, man, just right there on the front line. So I thought it would be valuable for our audience to hear just what the medical professionals are going through.
I agree. It's an important story right now.
And he's got an interesting perspective on the way he felt about it when it first came down, too.
That's coming up next. First, 97.3 The Fan, helping San Diego stay connected. Here's your latest news update from Radio.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Don't forget, tomorrow is 97.3 The Fan's virtual opening day.
It's better than nothing.
It is better than nothing. That's is that our slogan now?
Ringing endorsement. 90, isn't it?
Better Woods.
Better than nothing.
Better than nothing. We're going to stream a simulation of the Rockies Padres game using MLB The Show 20 on Facebook Live on our Facebook page at 97.3 The Fan.
I'm watching.
And then
it.
We're all going to be, you have to. You've
oh.
Been ordered by our boss, but you probably would have anyway.
Because oh, no question.
You have nothing else to do. Join all of us, Woodsy, me, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Coach John Quintero, as we watch and comment on the game in real time. It's virtual opening day, only on 97.3 The Fan. So tomorrow, real opening day, probably would have been what? Paddock against John Gray. 1 o'clock tomorrow would have had a big old block party downtown, broadcasting live.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, fine. We'll talk about it. Instead, we're going to do the responsible thing at the moment. And we're going to chat with one of your buddies who's working hard as an ER nurse right now, which is just a scary thought. That's going to come up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan with Kelly Danick.
All we got going on right now, guys, is a possible brush fire. They're saying this is Mission Bay Drive on-ramp to Northbound 5, kind of east of the 5, so you might see a little smoke visible in the area. Other than that, though, we are accident-free, so continue to be on your best behavior out there. Stay safe. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
A brush fire. God, it's going to rain in another 5 minutes. Put it out.
Is it?
So I don't know. I mean, it feels like it's going to. Here comes clouds again.
We need it.
I know there's another storm coming in. Keep everybody inside.
Yes, that's what
Wood
we need.
Says. Don't overwhelm our hospitals, our emergency rooms. Doctors already preparing for the onslaught, which everyone says is coming. I know it feels like we're already in the middle of this. Unfortunately,
oh,
a lot
man.
Of medical experts say, no, we're still on the front end. The peak is still coming, whether it's, you know, in a week or two. At some point in the future, these cases are going to crest, and our hospitals are going to hopefully only be stretched to the limit. That's the ideal. The
stretched to the limit is what we're hoping. Yeah.
The fear, of course, is stretched way beyond the limit, and then we have some real problems. But there are real men and women who are right on those front lines in our hospitals, in our ERs. And joining us right now, Woodsy, is one of your buddies on our SDCCU Fan Hotline.
Jimmy Coughlin, my man, former San Diego Athletic and now doing actual work as an ER nurse at Sharp Healthcare. Jimmy, how are you, buddy?
Good, Steve. How you doing, buddy?
It's good to talk to you. Good to talk to you, man. I was thinking about you. I saw your Facebook post the other day, and I know you guys are doing, people are going to be doing donations. We can get into that in a minute. But obviously with what our world is going through, our country, and specifically here in San Diego, man, I thought about you putting those scrubs on every day, going in there, right in the front lines. Just give us kind of an overview of how it's been and how maybe your mind has changed on this thing in the last week.
Yeah, man, it's like, honestly, everything's changing like pretty rapidly just from like day to day. But, you know, we're implementing new policies in the hospital to try to like get this virus like under control, at least like from, you know, the healthcare's perspective. But it's just like try to like really important for the social distancing, because, you know, ultimately it's going to affect the healthcare workers, because they're the ones that will have the huge influx of patients. You know, if this disease like spikes a rapid, or like has a rapid spike, and then like it overcrowds the hospital systems, you know, ultimately we don't have enough staff, we don't have enough personal protective equipment, we'll run out of ventilators, we'll run out of beds, and, you know, it could get pretty bad if, you know, this disease starts to get like to the point where we can't handle it.
Jimmy, are people at this point, at least for the most part, following guidelines, trying to stay out of the hospital if they're not exhibiting symptoms, or their symptoms are mild? Or are you seeing people kind of panicking and coming in worried that, oh, maybe I have it, I just, you know, I have a cough, I don't know if I have a fever? What's the feeling on the ground right now?
So, I mean, just an overall feel for it, I think there's been definitely like less of a, you know, influx of volume, like in terms of just like, you know, normal ailments that people would probably come in for. I think a lot of times that people are, you know, the census is down a little bit, but you still do get your people that, you know, come in and say, hey, I traveled here, I, you know, have a cough and fever. And of course we have to address those seriously, but there's, you know, it's kind of tough to rule out, because, you know, it is flu season still, you know, before the virus even outbroke. So, you know, you still got a lot of people coming into the ER with, you know, cough, fever. So it's just hard to kind of like differentiate, but we kind of follow like a CDC guidelines of, you know, certain criteria that people need to meet in order to be tested. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we don't have the resources to test everybody, but we do have people that, you know, if they do fit the bill of, you know, a highly suspicious person, we have special rooms for them and special test kits. And, you know, hopefully we're going to roll out something within the next week or so that, you know, we'll be getting a, like a rapid corona test that would be, I don't know how accurate it is, but they say that, you know, the results can come back fairly quickly instead of these people, you know, getting discharged or quarantined. For the milder cases that, you know, go home and kind of wait for the results from the CDC in about 5 days. But generally all the cases are pretty mild, but there are some pretty gnarly cases that, you know, end up going to the ICU.
Oh, man. We're talking to Jimmy Coughlin, a buddy of mine. He's also an ER nurse at Sharp Healthcare right here in San Diego. And, you know, it was interesting when we were texting the other day, you said, I mean, as a health professional, you said, I definitely underestimated this thing. And I'll tell you, Jimmy, I think a lot of people have. I think a lot of people continue to do so. What is your advice to those people?
I think we got a little bit of a late start here in California because, you know, I think inevitably we all saw it coming, but maybe we didn't really, like, think necessarily it was going to be what it is right now. But, you know, I think we're doing all the right things necessary. Here in PB, they closed the beaches.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're enforcing pretty strict rules on the boardwalk and whatnot. But, you know, and I think it's great, honestly. It's one of these things where it's just like we have to just put our lives on hold for a little bit for those that can. You know, unfortunately, people are, you know, put out of work, and it's a really sad situation regarding that. But, but basically the idea of the social distancing is to, you know, limit the, you know, the bombardment on the healthcare system, because, you know, a lot of people, you know, develop pretty serious complications from this, and it doesn't matter whether you're old or young. They've been doing like studies that, you know, it just depends on how your body actually reacts to the virus. It's not just an old person's going to die from this. You
right.
know, the death toll has been, you know, all over the map from anyone from age 30 to 85, you know, but it just all depends on how your body reacts. And, you know, it's just up to the people to do their part, because we're the ones that will pay for it, because we're running out of supplies. We're not being protected. And ultimately, we're going to run out of beds in the ICU. We're going to run out of ventilators. And that means people are going to be getting held in the ER, which means that ER beds will get full. That means that people will not be seen. It's just like kind of like a, you know, imagine like a clog in a drain pipe. You know, the water's just going to keep backing up.
I just keep seeing stories. First, it was from China and then Italy. Now, even in places like New York, of the ER docs and nurses and those just endless shifts and trying to stay safe and getting home and then just scrubbing down and having to go back in the morning and do it all again. Jimmy, I really appreciate you spending some time with us and sharing your story, and just thank you for serving our community at this time. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. I appreciate it, man. And, you know, I'm just trying to do, you know, whatever little part I have, and, you know, respect to everyone out there who's doing their part. And, you know, hopefully at the end of the day that, you know, maybe in a couple weeks or months, I'm not sure how long it's going to take, but, you know, hopefully we can look past this and say that, you know, we all came together, and then we did our part and, you know, tried to neutralize this thing. So we'll see, man.
Thank you, brother. I, you know, listen, if this, we need to get you back out on the baseball field, you know, get you out of the ER after everything slows down. And, you know, you always got a spot with me, man. Love you. Take care of yourself, Jim. Thanks for all you do, brother.
Hey, thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, man.
Stay safe, everyone.
See ya.
Jimmy Coughlin on our SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU remains open. Rest assured, your funds are federally insured by the NCUA. For details or to find a branch open near you, visit sdccu.com. Yeah, I mean, sobering. It's real. That's, you know, we're essential in a very different way.
Much, much
than
different.
Jimmy is an essential.
Essentials are really,
right now.
I've learned essential is a very broad term, Ben. We have been deemed essential. To continue working. Very thankful for that, by the way. This is a great respite for me every day, and it's nice to stay in somewhat of a routine. And I know many of you have been uprooted by this thing. But, yeah, I mean, think about guys like Jimmy that are going in there and doing it every single day, man. And really, talk. I mean, how freaking I get nervous when I'm in the same room with somebody. I was at Walgreens the other day. I was like, all right, get away from me. Imagine being in an ER. Everywhere. It would be terrifying. So I really appreciate all our medical professionals out there, man.
This hour of Bennett Woods is brought to you by the San Diego County BMW Centers. Right now, get APRs as low as 1.99% for 48 months on select 2016 through 2018 certified BMW models. See a San Diego County BMW Center today for details or visit sdcountybmw.com. This pains me. But I like to view myself as objective and unbiased as a sports reporter.
Yes.
The Chargers have put that to the test the last couple of years, because it is always my instinct to just, you know, criticize them for whatever they do after moving. And they usually deserve it, so I feel justified in my criticism. Dummy. In my total unbiased opinion, the Chargers actually did a much better job with their new logo release than the Rams did.
Yes.
Rams did theirs with a bunch of fanfare 2 days ago. The logo, highly questionable at best. Tons of criticism on the internet. It ended up looking exactly like that one word from Angelo State.
Yes.
It doesn't really connect to the history of the team, some of the classic jerseys that people love from the 1970s Rams in Los Angeles. The Chargers didn't have a big, you know, to do over it. They didn't make a big deal or a fuss about it. They just put out a new Los Angeles Chargers logo. It's powder blue. It's not a huge change. It just, you know, tweaked the lightning bolts and the colors a little bit. It looks decent. Everyone loves the powder blue, so, you know, people are going to like that.
They got rid of the navy blue, the dark blue altogether, right?
Yeah,
so they're powder blue,
which we, of course, had been. The criticism here, of course, is that San Diego fans asked them to do this for literally ever. And they always said, no, the navy blue is the Spanos color. That the old blue was the previous owners. When the Spanos came in, they were the navy blue. So we're going to stick with that, despite the fans begging to go to the powder blues full time and not just a throwback
year.
You're
telling me the Spanos family didn't listen to the fans?
No.
Weird.
But someone has maybe kicking and screaming made them.
We're not listening to anyone.
The most obvious move that they could have possibly made going into the new stadium.
We're not going anywhere. So
you know
rebranding
what,
a little bit with the new logo and the powder blue primary colors now. And it does look grudgingly. It looks decent.
It's not going to help.
No, it's not. There weren't anyone, singing, huzzahs because there are so few Chargers fans.
Singing what?
Huzzahs. It's like a hooray, but with a Z. Huzzah.
Paul, you ever?
No.
Huzzah.
What?
What? Say the whole line again.
That sounds like something I'd expect.
Say the whole line again. There wasn't
anyone singing huzzahs yesterday.
Remember Role Models, the movie?
Barely.
LARPing, the live action role play guys running around the park. I'd expect one of them to say huzzah.
Yes.
Huzzah is, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, apparently a mere exclamation. The dictionary does not mention any specific derivation. Whatever its origins, it has seen occasional literary use since at least the time of Shakespeare, as the first use was in 1573, according to Merriam-Webster. This has been around 447 years.
So let's say I walk in the door today.
Huzzah!
I walk in the door today to my home, and my beautiful wife, Hannah, has prepared for me a delicious lunch. Right when I walked in the door, and I go, huzzah!
Yes,
that looks delicious.
Yeah, exactly.
You can also
use it as a verb. He huzzahed at the top of his voice.
Let's say I walk in from work today, and my beautiful wife, Hannah, says, I want to huzzah you.
I don't know exactly.
What would that mean?
Could have a personal meaning, of course.
Huzzah. It's the first time I was an English major. I have an English degree from the Loyola University of Chicago. I've never heard that. I read Shakespeare. I don't remember any of that. Huzzah.
I was today years old
when
the first time I heard that word.
When Ben says, no one was yelling huzzah. This is like the end of the show. It's like our first two breaks tomorrow.
The show is just, it's like 8 minutes too long.
Huzzah!
For me. I can make it now through 3 hours and 50 minutes.
I'm with you.
These last eight are always huzzah. The hardest.
Can we do a coronavirus shortening of our show? Like 6 to 9 would be fantastic.
For safety
purposes.
I mean, the last thing anyone would want is for our show to be unsafe.
Right. Huzzah, we would say.
We would.
That is, you're incredible. You're a legend. You're a gem. You're all of the things. I've never heard that.
Huzzah.
Huzzah.
Speaking of the NFL, all facilities ordered closed today at 6 p.m. by Roger Goodell.
Sounds like a bunch of huzzah
to me. That's a bunch of huzzah.
Except for like maintenance, a couple of key people allowed in facilities. But otherwise, they're closing them around the country.
Huzzah, everyone.
Didn't know they weren't already closed, actually.
Huzzah.
Huzzah that.
I'm looking for any sort of backup here. Huzzah, Distant Archer says. Maybe he knows it.
Brandon seems like someone who would know his huzzahs.
That is amazing.
Huzzah.
Huzzah.
When the Padres win the World Series,
huzzah.
I will huzzah. Yes, I will huzzah if the Padres win the World Series.
Is it something you yell or is it something you do?
You can do both. It's a verb
it's
and
a verb
a noun.
And a noun.
Huzzah! Or, I'm going to huzzah.
All right.
Works both. I really hope, I'm praying for some music here that means the show is over. Huzzah! Ah, there it is. Good. Huzzah! What a great show until now.
Wow.
It really was a good one.
It was really good for three hours and 50 minutes.
Let's go for 3:52 tomorrow.
Let's do it.
See if we can up that by a little bit. I always want to leave a little room for improvement. Paul Reindel. Great job, executive producer.
Incredible.
Stephen Woods, hopefully you don't have to record any commercials
after
the show today.
Good today. And get home and get to the bathroom.
I'm Ben Higgins. Jim Rome show up next here on 97.3 The Fan. Huzzah!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild.
Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.